Steve Phillips coming up here in just a second. And the Jays back in action tonight. They got a win over the Angels last night. Jose Bautista is now a member of the New York Mets. Like, I don't think this is a Brett Favre-type move, because Favre was still at the top of his game for the most part when he was doing the whole retirement thing.
And right.
You knew he was going to be sought after, and you expected big things when he returned and wherever he played.
I don't think this is going to last long. It's just some of those swings last night. This is, like, this is the 18th hole of this guy's career.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't think it can last longer than 10 days, because you kind of get what you see what you got, and it's like you can't continue with that.
His bat speed just isn't there anymore. I mean, he violently turned on balls for years. You know, you don't hit 54 home runs without that kind of speed.
No way.
But you watch, even last night, he got tested a couple times, and it's like, dude, take some weight off the bat or something.
Serrano, yeah. I've talked to hockey players, Brian, where it's like, and we'll ask Steve, what happens in baseball? Is it like, do the hands go first? Do the legs fall off? Like, how does it come to an end?
Well, here's Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst. Take us through this thought process from the Mets in terms of Bautista and why anybody should believe he's going to stick with them long term.
Yeah, and look, the reason they went and brought in Jose Bautista is that Todd Frazier, the third baseman's hurt. Jonas Cespedes, the left fielder's hurt. Their center fielder, Juan Lagares, is out likely for the year. And so they need some right-handed bats and potentially some right-handed power. So they figured, why not take a flyer? We'll see what he looks like. And right now, I think what it is, and surprisingly, Bautista's competing against Jose Reyes. Jose Reyes is their utility guy, and his numbers this year are awful. I mean, Reyes looks like he's done as well. And so they're going to try to catch lightning in a bottle, see if it works. And if not, you know, it's a minimum salary investment at this point from their part. So, you know, they're going to take a shot at it, but I'm with you. I don't think he has a whole lot left. And what happens is players lose the elasticity in their body, that ability to that sort of quick twitch turning and rotation. And I saw it firsthand with Robbie Alomar. I got him from Cleveland. Alomar, and it was a great deal, right? He came off a season where he hit 330, hit 20 homers, stole 30 bases, drove in 100 runs, scored 100 runs. I'm thinking, man, I've got this guy. I know he's on the backside of his prime, but I'm thinking I'm getting this guy, this dynamic player. And when we got him, he lost that quick twitch. He lost that elasticity where you can kind of turn quickly, rotate, and catch that inside pitch. And so everything became one speed. It's a lot like Troy Tulowitzki right now. He's got one speed with which he can play, and it doesn't have any of that sort of acceleration with anything he does. And Bautista's kind of in that same mold right now.
We were talking about Teoscar Hernandez, who's been a real bright spot for the Jays. I mean, he had a great spring, and they started him down in the minors, and eventually they called him up based on injuries, and he played so well, and he put up such big numbers. They're like, we got to keep him around. And for the most part, he's been hitting cleanup on this team. But he's been seeing a pretty steady dosage recently of breaking pitches, and Gibbons was quoted about 20 minutes ago saying basically the league's figuring him out, and they're starting to throw breaking pitches at him. This is basically protocol around major leagues, isn't it? I mean, the guy
comes
up.
What the hell's the adjustment? Because he knows he's never going to see another fastball.
Well, that's
again
the question, right? Like, how this is a huge test for his whole career, isn't it, Steve? Because you can't just be waiting for fastballs all the time.
Well, here's the thing. It's a huge test for his career, but, you know, pitchers pitch you differently when you're batting cleanup than when you're batting six or seven. And I think that move by the team to put him into the number four spot was an acknowledgement that other teams took notice of. And they're like, okay, well, we figured out that you can hit that fastball down and away. We figured out that you can handle the fastball in. Now we're going to put a wrinkle in it. And you know, it's interesting because a lot of times for hitters, they don't have to figure out how to hit the curveball or the breaking ball. They have to figure out how to take it, right? Take it until you have to swing at it, or pick a count, figure out the sequencing of pitches, the way they throw it to you, and guess on it. Sit on one and then drive it, and it's one of the quickest ways to chase teams off of the breaking ball. And so you don't have to hit six in a row, six breaking pitches in a row to get teams to say, well, maybe he's figured it out. You have to hit one. Hit one. One really good one. And all you're doing is you're looking for it, and you drive it, and then they go, okay, well, we better go back to that fastball away. So it's that game of adjustments that it doesn't have to be a major shift in his approach. He just needs to figure it out a little bit at a time.
with Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst. We had this conversation yesterday. Shohei Ohtani has taken the majors by storm, and it's his first time in Toronto, so understandably people are excited about it. But when I think of the Angels, regardless of how well Ohtani's playing, I still think of Mike Trout. I mean, I have too much respect for him, and I think... Dude,
Mike Trout was signing autographs yesterday, and he signed like two, and then he went back to the dugout.
Right, and I'm sure Ohtani came out, and he had to sign hundreds or dozens.
I couldn't believe it.
Right. I mean, I think this is a fundamental problem that baseball has, Steve. I mean, Trout is putting forth, statistically, the greatest season in Major League Baseball history. He's given us enough data over the past 6 or 7 years to suggest that by the end of his career, he could be in contention for the greatest player of all time. And he rolls into town in Toronto, and it's like, oh, that's cool, but who's this other guy?
Yeah.
Like, that's a problem, isn't it?
No doubt. Yeah, I mean, it is. Look, Trout never got the attention, even without Ohtani there. I think a lot of it because he's on the West Coast, and so, you know, by the time he's playing, people on the East Coast are going to bed. They're not watching him. He's not getting enough attention on the East Coast. He's also not a guy who seeks the spotlight. You know, he's not a great interviewer. He's a nice kid, and he'll give you a nice stock answer. But there's nothing compelling about him or controversial about him. And so, you know, he just plays, and he's kind of vanilla in a lot of ways. Other than you're right, he's the greatest player, arguably, that may ever play the game. Ohtani's different, right? He's unique. I mean, there's a reason why people like Aaron Judge and they like Jose Altuve. They like the big guy and they like the little guy, the giant and the little guy. Because they're different. And so Ohtani, because he's a pitcher and a hitter, it's unique to the game. It's somewhat a pioneer in a trendsetter and a change. People are intrigued by it. So there's a little bit of a freak show sort of perspective to it, right? That they're like, who is this guy? We want to see what he's made of. And Trout just keeps going out there. Trout doesn't seem to mind at all. Trout seems to get along with Ohtani great. He loved when Pujols came out there. He just plays and he lets his game speak for himself. But, yeah, I think there is some part of it that I wish Trout was, people had a better perspective and understanding about what they're seeing and what we're actually watching in this guy. We'll know it 20 years from now, but I think people are going to look back and say, geez, I wish I had acknowledged it a little bit more when this guy was playing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I want to ask you about some of these teams that have been tire fires for a number of years and basically were tanking and rebuilding through the draft and trying to pick up prospects through trades that are now having success that nobody really saw coming. And it's the NL East we're really talking about here, the Braves and the Phillies. The Braves in particular are a great, great story. And they're loaded with young talent, and they've been awful for a while. The Phillies, too. We saw Houston do that years ago, the Cubs to a bit of a lesser extent. And now, I mean, I think we have a full-blown conversation on our hands throughout Major League Baseball of tanking. There's a lot of teams that appear to be tanking. But when you see this kind of success from the Braves and the Phillies, is it starting to make sense? Can you understand why teams would tank in baseball?
Well, here's the thing. I think all you have to do is look at the last three World Series champions. You go from the Royals and the fact that they went through a rebuilding process. The Cubs, Theo Epstein tore it all the way down to the ground and built it back up again. And then obviously the Astros. I mean, the last three World Series champions all went through that process. And what we see in Atlanta right now, I mean, these young kids are dynamic. And how about for the Phillies? So the Phillies win a game the other day. Nick Williams hit a home run. He's a player that came over in the Cole Hamels trade. Jorge Alfaro, their catcher, made three unbelievable defensive plays in the game. He came over in the Cole Hamels deal. And Nick Pivetta started and threw seven shutout innings. He came over the Jonathan Papelbon deal. And so when teams talk about rebuilding and going to the deadline and making trades to improve themselves and bring young kids in, look at the return that they got there. Starting catcher, starting right fielder, and a starting pitcher in two deals. And so other teams that are on that borderline start looking at what the Braves and Phillies have done, what the Cubs and Astros and Royals did, and think, yeah, we want some of that. We'll buy into that. I think fans are more accepting. Now, the only problem is, I think fans are accepting that may be the way to go. They just don't want to watch it until you're good again. And that's where the attendance numbers fell off a little bit for some of these rebuilding teams. And that's not exactly what baseball wants either.
Great stuff as always, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Here's Steve Phillips, our baseball analyst.